Save big money on your outdoor project at Menards. Take the guesswork out of landscaping with our free, easy-to-use design program. Plus, Menards has the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape blocks at the best prices. Get started on your dream landscape now. Visit us in-store or on Menards.com to see our full selection of landscape blocks and get your project started today. Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to Tunnel Talk, No Facts, All Feelings Wrestling Podcast on the Social Suplex Network. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
Girls, how are you doing this week?
Well, Allie, I prepped some non-weather shit chat, so that's pretty exciting.
I couldn't be more excited.
Yeah. So I'm on a work trip, so I have a rental car this week. And I don't know if you've driven a rental car lately, but in my opinion, new car safety features are out of control. Like, they are. Aren't they?
Yes.
Like, and of course, you get a rental car and they don't tell you what they are because they just like hand you the key. Actually, this guy, he said, "What kind of car do you want?" to me, which was like, I don't know, a rental car. Like, he's a car person. And also, like, rental cars, they're all like, give me your finest Nissan Elantra. Like, I don't know.
You know? I do think there's something fucked up at rental car places where it's like they assume that you're coming in as a car connoisseur. They're like, you know all the cars. And it's like, bitch, yeah. I just know I want to leave this place.
And I literally said, like, I don't know, a sedan. And then he turned around and he said, is this SUV okay? It's like, well, then why did you ask? What are we doing here? Give me the car you have, man. I don't care. But yeah, so then you're in the car, and this one apparently I discovered has like functionality to keep you from drifting into the other lane.
Lane departure thing.
But it doesn't just beep. It like wrenches the steering wheel, which is garbage. So you're like, crazy. You're not expecting it, and you're just like, you know, the right-hand turn lane has just opened up, and it's 200 feet to the intersection. So I'm not signaling yet. I'm just, like, sliding into the car. And suddenly I'm on a fucking Bronco, like, trying to be like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
The first time that my – because that was a feature that my car's from 2019. I didn't know that it had it because I don't understand my car at all. And the first time it did it to me, I was like, what the – devil witchcraft is this? And then I figured out that it was a feature, and I figured out how to turn it off.
Nice.
I said, I don't want to be saved. That
owner's manual. Yeah. Let me drift wherever I want on the road. Okay.
And it's Did you end up in a Honda? Are you in a Honda?
I didn't notice. I'm in some kind of SUV.
I've literally never felt closer to you than I do right now.
I literally did not give even a little bit of a shit. Yeah.
It's so fucking powerful to be like, I don't know, it was a fucking car. Yes, queen. You know, I'd like to trash a car, a type of car right now. I took an Uber this week because I had to take my car to the shop because it was flooding. And that's fine. And we don't have to get into that again. The car is fine. I love spending money on my car. But I took it was a Tesla, and I got so motion sick in the back seat, and I really? Never get motion sick. I was like, I'm gonna retch in this Tesla. And so then I Googled it because I was just like, I can't be alone. This can't be me. This has to be a Tesla problem. And it is.
Wow. Do they know what it is about the Tesla?
It sounded like there was something about the brakes, whatever braking system they use, that's like different than than your brain expects. So you're having a different experience of motion than your brain is used to. So some people can get more motion sick if they're not used to it. And I don't plan to get used to it. Okay.
No.
Because fuck Elon.
It would be way worse if this story was like, so I rode a Tesla, loved it. Unfortunately, I have to buy one now.
It did have a cool roof. Like the whole roof was see-through, but then I just said to myself, probably that's how you die. You're not gonna get me that way. I know that's how you die.
So you can see the water closing over your head and you can't get out. Yeah.
Do you know, I once got into an argument with one of my friends because as I was getting out of my car, she like leaned. I was driving. I picked her up. She leaned up and closed my sunroof, and I was like, "Why?" And she was like, "Well, we're getting out of the car." And I was like, why would you close it? And she was like, well, because people could see in it. And I like pointed to the windshield and I was like, there's a lot of ways you can see it.
Because people could see it.
I don't understand what we're doing.
That's so fucking funny.
So funny. I thought, like, as you were saying it, I was like, well, Lee, if it's open, like, what if it starts raining? Like, of course you close it, but no, just the cover?
Just the cover. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I guess I could so call funny. It. Like, the, it was in the moon.
Modesty.
Yeah.
You don't want those birds looking down in there. Like.
And she did it in the way that, like, you close your curtains at night sort of thing. And I was like... What's happening here?
Oh my god.
Anyways, I was just thinking that a ruthless Tesla would really throw her off.
That Tesla didn't even look like it had an option to close the roof. Like, it's basically nude all the time. Anyone can see it.
Just God can stare right down
god
at you.
Can stare right down yeah. and judge you. And mm-hmm. he is.
And he is.
Oh. He says, that one's in a Tesla, but don't care for it.
I'm gonna drive that car into the water. but you'll have a good time on the way down. Mm. Leah.
Yeah.
Now it's your belated week to share what's making you happy. I hope you have a really, really good one for us.
Saw a bird.
Leah? No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Rejected.
You a real one.
I have a real one.
Okay.
And it is that me and a couple friends in July did No Buy July, where we all set our own rules for what that meant, which was pretty cool. And for me, I made No Buy July mean that I could not purchase anything online. If I wanted it so badly, I had to go find it in a brick and mortar store. And this was only an attempt to stop buying from fucking Amazon. But yeah. Actually, I fucking loved it. I loved it. Going, like, I'm back in love with brick and mortar stores.
I want the dream of the 90s. Back in love.
I'm like, we need to bring back malls. We need to bring back department stores. Mm-hmm. I'm having the time of my life.
True. It's fun out there.
So, yeah. And so I started talking to fucking, like, store owners and was just like, oh, like, you know, like, do you think a lot of people end up buying this? It was just really, I just had a great month. And so I'm keeping it going, right?
Yeah.
So I think I told you guys this. I don't know if I told the listeners this, but my favorite weed seltzer hasn't been stocked in the dispensary in like 2 months. And mm-hmm. so I got an email from the dispensary just like with a marketing thing. And on my new kick of loving stores and talking to stores,
yes.
I just responded to the marketing email and was like, you should bring back the can high boys. Wow. Within 20 minutes, this man wrote back to me and like, oh, like couple times they had checked, they were out of stock. I'll check on it for you. And I was like, that's amazing. Great response.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
About 20 minutes after that, he responds back to me and goes, I checked with the representative. They are no longer selling it they're pausing sales in Massachusetts. What the fuck does that mean?
What's wrong?
They're sick of those Puritans. Yeah.
And then he goes, tell me another brand you want me to buy.
Oh my god. Okay. Yes.
Of course I don't have an answer to this because I mean he only ever sold me one.
Leah, you should have talked to me. I've tried all of them.
So immediately I'm Googling best weed seltzers.
Yeah.
And so I'm reading reviews and I pick one and I send it and I'm like, what about this one? And he was like, I'll work on it. So
I love
then,
that you and this man are now brainstorming together.
In this thread that starts from a marketing email.
He said,
email.
Hop in a huddle with me. Get in a huddle.
It's like, even better than that.
Response to my emails. I'm thrilled.
I know. And so then today, I get a response. And this was already going to be my what's making you happy, me happy. Today, he tells me that he has purchased a smorgasbord of seltzers.
Oh my
and
god.
And he wants me to come try them.
What?
And so we can pay. I don't know what he's going to charge me. I assume he's going to charge me something. But he's like, we'll figure out which one we're going to start stocking.
Hello? My jaw is hello? I'm hello? So happy.
Anyway, together. He's like, I got a focus group. Like, he's going to set the tone.
Brick and mortar stores.
Brick and mortar stores.
Mom and pop businesses. They're back. We're bringing them back.
We're bringing them back. You
we
know,
do. I mean, when you buy clothes in a brick and mortar store as opposed to online, like they fit better, they look better,
yeah.
you're happier.
you're happier. And you don't have to. I think it's, we often think, you know, it's like, oh, you can buy it, you can always return it. And it's like a lot of stuff that you return does not make it back into the, mm-hmm. into the system as you know it. Yeah. It goes also, to the dark system.
It's true. Also, you know, you can think to yourself, I can return this. And then that 30 days can pass you right by.
Certainly can.
Or like sometimes I try stuff on and I'm like, oh, this isn't like great, but I don't feel like returning it. So it's going to be good enough. And I wear it, but it's still, it's not bringing me joy. But you know what? Yeah. If I tried it on at the store, I wouldn't have gotten it.
Yep.
What about something else?
Yep. This is a this is a really good reminder.
Yeah.
This is a really good reminder. You know, My
nephews are coming to visit next week, and I wanted to get like little toys, just cheap stuff to have at the house, because last year my 5-year-old nephew burned me for not having enough toys. he was like, maybe there's more in the basement. And my brother had to be like, Grant, most people don't just have toys in the basement. but I went to a brick and mortar store and like looked at them, because you can see the size and the quality, and you know, it was much easier to do there than just little thumbnails on a DAG website.
I think the thing that's it's like, yeah, it's better to shop in person. You can understand things better. And also it's like, if you go to any, I think almost any store you go to, if you want something, you should go talk to somebody about it. My friends live in this neighborhood pretty nearby, but they have like a really nice like market in the neighborhood that's just local. And we've often said, it's like, if you walk through the market, they have every normal thing that you could want, but often a version of it that you're like, it's so strange that that's the one you have here. And we've often said, like, I think literally everything they stock there is because someone was like, I wish you would get this brand. And they were like, sure. Yeah. As long as we have a version of it, yeah, it's fine. And it, honestly, it's a pretty elite shopping experience. Like, not because the brands are better, but just because it's like fun to not be buying every normal thing. You know what I mean? Like everything is an interesting. My friend once was like, can you stop and get Popperdell? I don't know if we have, if they have it there. I said they had 4 different kinds. They were all insane. I was thrilled. I loved buying it. Every single brand they had was like, where's that from? What is that? I would only ever have encountered this in a Marshall's clearance section. Well, that was Leah. That was a great one.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
And I hope you get high as balls on that week.
Yeah. I hope those Tuesday. Wheat seltzers, really.
Yeah.
When you do the sampler, boy.
He's going to treat you real good.
Your thoughts.
He told me to come in on Tuesday, and I will be there.
Wow.
You're just waiting when the store opens.
You're really being a part of your community, too, which is such a good thing.
It does sort of make you, like when you're talking to people at, you know, people, like, you know, you've just become really aware that you're like, oh, like, you're interested in making sure that like your store stocks things that people want to buy, because you're like, you're personally invested in this store. It's not just like your dead end job that you hate. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I just keep having moments where I'm like, wow. And we're all just in this.
We're all just people in this, on this crazy planet spinning through space, this rock spinning through space. We're all just human beings. That's real though. We do have one item of business before we get down to the wrestling. Anne, you will not be present next week.
Big family visit. Little nephew's coming.
So exciting.
Whole gang. Yep.
So. And hopefully, we can't wait to hear if they were impressed with your toy selection.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. might have overdone it a little. We'll find out.
Are you nervous?
About the toys? A little bit. Yeah.
We'll have to hear all about the reviews.
But given that this weekend is Forbidden Door, when we were considering what to do in Anne's absence, we thought we got experts on the network. We got experts on the network. And so we asked Jeremy from Keeping It Strong Style if he would be willing to join us next week. He has said that he will be willing to join us. He will be talking Forbidden Door with us. We'll be asking him about his dance lessons.
Yes. He doesn't know it yet. He's going on the hot seat.
It's hard to know which of those topics is going to get more time on the pod. You'll have to tune in to find out. We're very, very excited. And we hope you guys are too.
Yes. Yeah. And sorry, I'm going to miss it.
Well, Ian, we'll see if you even get to come back. You know, it's a toss-up.
When you
take a week off on this pod.
I'm posting that episode with a poll. That's should we replace Anne with Jeremy?
Or Gangrel, you know.
Or Gangrel, yeah.
Imagine a version of our podcast where it's like every host is getting replaced with a guest host one by one, so that at the end of it, you just have all the guest hosts. So
it's just like Blorb, Jeremy, and Gangrel is like the Tunnel Talk hosts. Yeah,
that could be a dynamic panel, trio. Honestly.
And the three of them are going, okay, so you've got Brandon, Adam Cole.
They're just playing the dating game forever. Okay, well, we're very excited for that, and we're excited for you to hang with your nephews. And are you guys excited to talk about the wrestling we saw this week?
Oh, could not be more excited.
I fucking bet. Okay, last week on Dynamite. Oh, yeah, this was, I know, you shouldn't even have put this in here. This was a little recap. We were taken back to last week's Dynamite when AEW World Champion Hangman Adam Page played MJF's own game against him and coaxed him into executing his guaranteed contract. Would you have described it that way?
As coaxing? No.
No.
Taunting? Sure.
Coaxing really seems like a gentle little tone of voice and a hand on the shoulder, you know?
Yeah. Coaxing is how you tame a wild stallion. That's not what was happening. But this was from a recap that I guess was on Collision. This week on Dynamite, Mark Briscoe was on the hunt for MJF backstage, I think due to wanting to kill him for the usual reasons.
That was the absolute funniest, like, showing a gun in Act 1. It was just Mark Briscoe wandering onto screen going, I'm looking for MJF, and when I find that daggone rabbit, I'm going to shoot him. And then he wandered back out.
It was like, yeah, it makes total sense that you're this mad at him. I don't think for anything that I need to know about right now. I think just his general behavior over the past couple months.
Jokes.
But yeah, probably those dead brother jokes still. We cut immediately to a segment where MJF was approaching Ricochet and his minions, the Gates of Agony, to solicit their help with some killing of his own. He said, listen, I don't like you. Bald people freak me out. And the idea of me being bald actually gives me agita. I liked that he said agita. I thought that was fun.
That was fun. Yeah.
But the enemy of my enemy is my friend. You want to team up? Should we kill this guy together? Ricochet said, Max, normally I love to see you run around here stressed to the max like a chicken with your head cut off. But I'm willing to forgo that pleasure. I love that he said he likes seeing MJF. I was like, that's a good backstage commentary on MJF. It's just like, that guy is always really mad about something. It's kind of fun to see.
It'd be fun, honestly, if you like saw a little segment where like some guys are talking and then MJF just kind of storms past and they're like, oh, wow, he's funny.
Bad mood today.
Yeah.
I'm like, the chances that did air at some point on BTE and it was the best friends are non-zero. That sounds like something they would do.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on, okay, so they wave the camera away. They're like, we got to do some plotting. They're going to team up. Any thoughts on Ricochet general fashion vibes?
That whole like vest, no shirt look. It's real. I mean, Ricochet's attention to detail in the douchiness that he presents. It's really incredible.
Yeah. The backwards cap. It's a great, the whole thing is a great look. And then he has the Gates of Agony guys in vests too. So they're all looking good together.
It's fun to think about them going to the vest store to make a group purchase, you know?
Except that the vest store, I think, would be like a David's Bride, a brick and mortar David's Bridal, maybe.
Yeah, probably David's Bridal.
I'm like, just trying to think, where do you get like lots of colors of vest? You know what I mean? And I'm like,
I bet a men's warehouse would.
Okay.
Maybe not. Maybe. I don't know. I'm not
sure
a
there are
expert.
Places, but I just like the idea. It's like you come in with two men. You're like, we all need vests. They have to be different colors. So they need to look nice together. It's like, that's a wedding party. That's the only other thing that could be going
true.
On.
These are the kind of questions we got to ask Jeremy. Jeremy, you and five of your friends all want to be wearing vests.
Matching different colored vests.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're not the same, but they go together. He'll be able to answer this for us for sure.
Jeremy's listening to this episode and getting panicky.
He's sweating bullets. He's like, what the fuck?
Dance Coro's vest, God.
But let's do a brief sidebar here. Ricochet fought a new man, Ace Austin, on Collision. The name Ace Austin. Just any thoughts on that?
Sounds like a Marvel superhero.
I was going to say reality TV star, but that's because on Love Island, there was someone named Ace and someone named Austin this season.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That was true.
I think he's all elite. I don't know anything about him except that I saw it was just like his body in silhouette
Yeah.
going by it on Twitter. And I stopped and said, what am I Yeah. What am I seeing right now?
I did very much appreciate the body. For someone to have a Mark Davis thighs and butt, but with like Kyle Fletcher's torso, I'm interested in looking.
I have to admit, I didn't watch the whole match. I'll have to get back into that. I'm looking at him now. I'm saying, how do you move? What does this whole thing look like in motion?
What is the workout routine that creates that body?
I don't know.
The thigh situation is just like, it's pretty disjointed. It looks like different legs have gotten attached to the wrong torso.
Yeah. They are good legs. I mean, good legs.
Oh yeah.
I'm interested. I don't really know what to make of you, sir, but I can't wait to meet you.
I'd like to watch him crack a watermelon with them things.
Oh, yeah. That's the number one thing I'd like to see. Okay. Later
Maybe
in the show.
Maybe we should send an email and see if the store wants to
Hello.
Give us what we're asking for.
Hello at allelitewrestling.com.
You know, for all that we say, we're always calling Tony on the phone. We never send emails, except that one time we were so angry. Yeah. Maybe we should be sending emails more often to just be like, loving the show. Just one small request. Could we get a backstage watermelon segment with some thighs?
Yeah. Do you remember when Sarah Shockey told us that people constantly use the Pro Wrestling Tees comment box to send Tony booking ideas?
That's so funny. I love that because it is just like, it's such an afterthought thing. It's like, I'm buying this and like, you know what? While I'm here, let me just shoot Tony an idea just in case it makes it through. Okay, later in Dynamite, Hangman came out for an in-ring promo in which he chastised Max for last week's parking lot attack. He said if Max has ever had a problem in his life, if, he cannot look it head on because he does not have the balls to do it. And he said he knew it would be a waste of time to try and call MJF out, but MJF's music did hit. MJF did not appear. Instead, Tony Schiavone hopped on the mic and was like, I'm getting a report that he has a camera on him. Hangman, stay where you are. He does not want to speak to you. He does want to speak to you. But apparently, if you leave the ring before he finishes, something bad, according to MJF, something very bad is going to happen. I'm sorry, but he's got a camera. You have to stay in the ring. I'm very sorry.
I'm sorry, but he's got a camera.
That's a comment on modernity. He did really manage to communicate, like, he's strapped a bomb to my chest. Yeah. But it was just the camera was on him. MJF and Ricochet and the Gates of Agony had tied Mark Briscoe up into a chair. And MJF had a little canister of gasoline, and he said, I'm going to set this guy on fire, Hangman, if you don't acquiesce to just three requests for Sunday's Forbidden Door match. And I think he basically called Mark Briscoe Hangman's vulnerability. He was like, "This, I know that Mark Briscoe is your Achilles heel."
Absolutely insane.
What are we doing? I saw someone somewhere be like, it should have been Christopher Daniels. And I know that Christopher Daniels is busy with like his new like a foster sons. But
his
like
Sky Sons. Yeah.
It would have made a lot of sense, and it would have been like, oh shit, for like Hangman to be confronted with Christopher Daniels after all this. Yeah, that would have worked real good, I think.
That would have made a lot of sense.
It also would have made sense for him to be so emotional he couldn't think straight, and he just had to like give in to the stipulation. Whereas with Mark Briscoe, you're sort of like, well, I mean, he seems like he'd survive anything. You
know? I was having a bit of a bad response where I was like, Hangman, he can take it. He'll be fine. Like, I just don't really worry about it. And then I was like, well, we've been saying all that stuff about how Hangman's a locker room leader, so he probably has to like practice what he preaches, but I just still couldn't really. It's not that I wish harm upon Mark Briscoe. I was just like, he'll be okay.
Yeah,
this isn't gonna get him.
And it just kind of like bummed me out. Like, Hangman doesn't have any particular friends anymore. You just have to grab like a generic good guy and be like,
I know,
Mark Briscoe on fire.
Especially because like the Dark Order had a brand new shirt that apparently like sold really well this week. That would have been a really good moment to like bring the Dark Order out and be like, oh.
What terms are they on? Or do we know? Bad,
kind
still,
of bad,
or?
But I still think he would have more emotional investment for sure. Yeah,
yeah, no,
I think they're still
back.
Bad, but yeah.
But that would be interesting to play with. Or it's like this. This was kind of interesting too, because as you said that, and like it's a little like depressing to be like, oh, Hangman has no real friends. It's like that would be depressing for the Hangman character too. That maybe that's a button that MJF should have pushed. Is like, you really don't have anybody like. to be like, you're going to have to save this guy, but like just because of your morals, not even because right. you. I know they told us, guys, don't tell. I know they told us last week that like they have a really long history and they're like really respect each other. They're really good friends. Like footage not found at AEW. Okay?
I'd love to pull this out like, oh, they have a really long history. Like only the moment before they need it for the story beat is like. Yeah. Guys, it's not, it doesn't work.
I don't believe you. Also, with Mark Briscoe, I'm like, Mark Briscoe will come out to rescue anybody.
Yeah.
So I'm not really buying that Mark Briscoe cares anything about Hangman. Mark Briscoe is just, you know, he comes out.
Exactly.
They're just two firehouse Dalmatians. It's like they were trained to save people. You know, it's not about their relationship to each other.
You know what would have been so funny, though? If Hangman in that moment, instead of agreeing to the stips, was just like, jet speed, I need you. Activate. This is what we've trained for.
Canine rescue unit.
They've all got little like casks of whiskey around their necks, like St. Bernard's in the Alps.
The idea of jet speed as a highly trained canine rescue unit who... Just there and there.
I mean, I'd watch that Saturday morning cartoon, you know?
And Max Caster is some kind of like rat mutt.
Yeah, they're like sleek huskies. And he's like, his teeth are all wonky. And
they're like, we need him on our team, boss. We've got to have him.
He just turned up one day at the rescue kennel and they were like, he's on our team now. And they're like,
He's actually caused so much trouble. He's like broken into the fridge. He's eaten everybody's lunches. He shat on the floor. Like,
they're just like, he's been in the pound for over a year because no one, people keep bringing him back.
They're like, we love him. We're obsessed with him.
He can't be in our home, though.
We can't save people without him. Okay. Well, that wandered a little bit. Where are we? Hangman. Yeah. Well, Hangman and Mark Briscoe are best friends. We knew that. Guys, it's fine. We knew that. We've known that this whole time. So MJF's requests. The title can change hands by disqualification. Second, the title can change hands by countout. Finally, I can have the match and I don't have to execute my Casino Gauntlet contract. I'm like, didn't he already sign it? Like,
my God.
Come on.
Stupid. This is so crazy. And it's like, it's the second time in a row that MJF has done a storyline where it's like, we spend a really long time on something that feels very pointless, like that doesn't have the emotional resonance for the time we're giving it with trying to get into the Hurt Syndicate or trying to not use this contract. You finally hit the beat that you assume we've been going for the whole time. And like, he's in the Hurt Syndicate and he's got tricked into not, or to using his contract, and then we immediately undo it again? Like, what was the point? Why are we doing this?
I guess, I think it's like, he must be like, it's cool, you zig, you zag, you zig, you zag. It's like, well, it's like, just like a zigzag, zigzag, zigzag isn't like a compelling story arc, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't know.
It's like, are you feeling okay, buddy? You can't even finish your simplistic wrestling storyline.
Back there, take his temperature. I think that some of you will be thrilled to hear it. I'm with you. I hate Cashins now. I'm over it. I hate Cashins.
Agreed. I also hate this, but here's what I'll say. I've only been mad since Wednesday. You guys have been mad for 3 weeks.
Yeah, but they're really happy now. You know, it's like, this is a gift going out to you. It's like, you know what? You're right. Well, we shouldn't even have tried. I wish we hadn't tried. I wish we hadn't even done it, you know? Fuck it. Cashins are out. I think this is a bit overbooked. It's feeling a little overbooked to me. And
yeah. Well, because now, okay, here's the thing. We were saying that, like, Cashins don't always have to follow everything WWE did. They could do something cool with it. You got to give them a chance to do it. And it's like, okay, well, now you're just guaranteed that what's going to happen is Hangman, MJF's going to lose the match normally. Then he's going to cash in at the end. And then, likely lose again. And I'm like, well, now you just telegraphed everything that's happening. And obviously, like, you know, this episode's going to come out, like, sometime before you see Forbidden Door. So egg on my face if they manage to do something very, very cool. But I think they've telegraphed pretty much that they won't.
Yeah. I can't say it's thrilled me.
No.
Do you guys think that do I not know how lighters work? Or like, was it like he had the light? It was a nice lighter with a lid. He had it lit. And then when Hangman acquiesced, he blew the flame out. And I said, a cool guy would close the lid, right?
Yeah, I mean, for sure.
Yeah. I think he thought he looked cooler doing blowing it out, for sure.
Yeah, but
that's so foolish. You would never catch me blowing out a lighter, okay?
I was like, in middle school, I would have relentlessly bullied anyone who blew out a lighter.
In middle school today, Anne, if I saw someone do that in front of me, get ready to never hear the end of it. What else do we have here? Anything we want to talk about? Probably not. Did we get a little CM Punk? I totally missed this. We got a little CM Punk rash.
Oh, yeah. So Hangman showed up to the arena by taking the train because nobody picked him up at the airport. He had to take public transit.
Okay. Pretty rough.
Pretty rough. UK. No way to treat somebody. There.
No
yeah.
way to
respectful.
No way to treat a champion. No. Sounds kind of fun. I like being on the train personally. Better than owning a car that floods. A car that could flood. It's better to take the train.
Also, I'll say every single person that's posted a picture about seeing Hangman out in the wild, that man has looked beautiful. Yeah. I know he's a beautiful man. I've said it before, but he's been looking quite fetching in Scotland.
When he's in that little tie-dyed tank and the jorts and the flip-flops, and then people are leaving comments like, why is he dressed like an Australian? Like, that's what I like.
To cute people, you know? All right. Shall we move on to Will Ospreay? Open Dynamite. They were in Glasgow. He opened with a promo about how he loves drinking with Scots. He loves sausage rolls. And do you ever think about death?
You're going to have to tell me and Anne what happened here because you were the only one that understood him.
Yeah.
Turns out Ali's fluent in Bruv, where Lee and I were both like, God, when Ospreay goes to the UK, he suddenly, like...
It was so much worse than normal. Yeah.
He talks faster and he doesn't enunciate because he's like,
I'm with my people. Yeah. He's with his people. He's happy.
It's a lot of references you're not getting in the U.S. because he really gets into... I guess he went to Greg's. He went to Greg's to get some sausage rolls. And everybody loved hearing about Greg's. And I said, I don't know who that man is. But I also like sausage rolls. So I can understand that sounds fun.
Sarah and I have this friend from Long Island who comes to visit once a year. And every time Sarah gets within, like, I don't know, like 30 feet of this friend, all of a sudden Sarah's Long Island accent like activates by like 500%. And I don't understand a single thing she's saying. And I'm like, professionally, I listen to you 2 hours every 2 weeks. How is this happening? I don't understand. And she's like, well, I'll call ya. That was a terrible impression, but
she's not gonna like that impression.
I like that you kind of implied that you listen to Sarah only while she records her podcast, and the rest of the time you're like,
I'm not being paid for it. I just one ear in, one ear out the other.
I listen to her professionally, and I tune her out the rest of the time. Yeah. Sarah, that's not true. She loves listening to you, and we all do, and our hearts go out to you. All our traditional best to you and your hearts
go out. You and the entire region of Long Island.
Yeah, our hearts go out to Long Island. Yeah.
Well, I can't tell you much more than that. I mean, I was shocked to find that I understood it and that you guys didn't. I think there was a moment of confusion where you were both being like, we need captions because I can understand a thing he's saying. And I like instinctively went to be like, so true, Queens. And then I was like, wait a second. I actually am getting most of this. But he was like, this has been the hardest few weeks of my life. I think he was really connecting to his Rada roots because he was fucking, I don't think he went to Rada, but that's it. But he was really acting. He was really doing something. Yeah.
He got Big Dave Meltzer, apparently, who was a meltdown.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Dave.
About how Ospreay's going to die with his neck or whatever.
Apparently, he kept saying, I don't have any extra information just based on what was on television. I think he's near death. I was like, okay.
Like, Dave, I saw him on television. I thought, probably some of this is a work.
Yeah. Yeah.
As a pretty experienced wrestling viewer, I know Big Dave isn't, so.
No. Well, he's emotionally compromised. I thought it was impressive that I did think, like, you know, with my smart thinking brain, I thought, when Will Ospreay says they wouldn't clear me for Forbidden Door. And that's why it has to be a lights out steel cage match because I'm not allowed to be there because I'm on the verge of death. I thought with my brain, I doubt that very much. I doubt very much that you haven't been cleared for the match. But at the same time, I think I was connecting. I think I was probably closer than I might like to Big Dave emotionally because he was worrying me with his affect.
Yeah. Remember a reaction when like commentary diagnosed Chuck Taylor's ankle during and we like immediately clocked out of the rest of the episode because we're all getting our medical degree on WebMD. That's what was going on with Big Dave is that he's like, true. Okay, I've learned a lot about necks in the last 20 minutes and this is what I think is happening.
I assume that he has to get a surgery and that he will get a surgery, but he was allowed to do plenty of stuff in this match, so I don't think he's going to die, but he did just kind of look like I'm connecting to my own mortality and it's a scary thing. And I'm glad that I can be here with you talking about sausage rolls while it happens.
I kept thinking about how like for the first Wembley thing, when he kept talking about how Chris Jericho kept taking him aside to being like, you gotta stop doing that. You're gonna break your body. And he was like, Chris Jericho, I'll never die. And now he's like, ooh, it seems that Big J's right.
He's like, I used to be made of rubber, but now I'm not. I'm like, oh, well, maybe.
So, you know, all man-made materials degrade over time.
Wow.
The human body is not man.
Woman-made.
Well, in some ways, man-made. Woman-made. Woman-made.
Woman-made.
Woman-made. You'd think that woman-made materials would be a little stronger. You can usually count on women to do a pretty good job. Okay. So he's in the ring. He says, if there's even a small chance that I can't be Will Ospreay after Sunday, then I'm leaving everything in that ring. Mox cruises out to join him. Mox's face is so expressive, plastic. It is moving. He's pulling it all sorts of ways. He really is delighting me these days.
Yeah. He's so really having the time of his life. He's like, now that I've gotten that albatross out of my fucking briefcase, yeah, I'm having the time of my life.
It's like everyone has finally shut up about me. So like, yeah, I can enjoy myself again.
Would it have been a better storyline if Mox had started doing a thing where it was like the briefcase was like talking to him, whispering to him, Grima worm-tonguing him. He's just being like aged. It's giving him bad advice, like, you know, that kind of thing. The second it's gone, he's young. He's young.
Yeah.
His kid is dead. That's rough. But other than that, everything's okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Immediately, I was like, what happened to Yuta? Because I forgot.
Yuta would have to die for the storyline, obviously, but that's okay. So Ospreay says, John, ace of AEW, and then I've said this is the point at which my Brev translation failed because I don't know what he called Claudio. He went into something that was so incomprehensible, even to me, a master Brev translator.
You with your degree in Brev studies couldn't even figure it out.
It was humiliating. I'm not afraid to say it. But I'll tell the truth. I'll always tell the truth on this podcast. I don't know what he said. I don't know what he said. But the gist, he said, this Sunday I'm coming for you. So if you want to get rid of me, don't let your boys do it. Do it yourself. That was hot. I liked that. I thought that was good. Mox doesn't like this. He's mustering his crew. He's like, let's get into some shenanigans. Who should run out? You know who it is. They're the sleekest canine rescue unit in the world. It's Jet Speed.
I'm just picturing it's like the Rescue Rangers, but it's like the sleek canine rescue unit, and it's like the two sleek ones and then like the little ragged dog trotting after them at the end with like a bone in his mouth.
I wish that I could really picture like what Max Caster canine rescue dog would look like, because it's like his temperament would be so nightmarish. Like, it's like the Shih Tzus, you know, he's not getting adopted, but then I'm like, I don't know, would he be really beautiful?
I mean,
it's hard to imagine what kind of dog he is.
It's true. It's like, in spirit he's a ratty mutt, but in physical appearance he's certainly some sort of purebred, like,
yeah, he's looking lovely. Strong, yeah. Strong thighs.
Yeah. Big, strong.
He's built in such a way that you're like, wow, that must be the best canine rescue dog. But then, like, either he's flubbing it or he's actively not trying.
He just, I think like, he's making it over worse. His own paws. Yeah.
I think it's like he's. It's like there. It's like get, help get little Timmy get out of the well, and he's like pushing little Timmy into the well, and then being like, "Who did that? Should I get in the well?"
They're like, "We thought only little Timmy was in the well. Why are there four kids down there now?" My cousin's like, "I don't know."
He's like, "Well, I just sent more kids to go get Timmy. That's fine, right?"
They like it down there.
Stand on each other's shoulders. Come on.
Their kids are killing to get in this well. They love it in the well. Anyway, Jet Speed come out. They have a trios match versus the Death Riders on the books for the night. So they run out to back Osprey up. Everyone's fighting. Tanahashi comes out. He joins in. The bell rings. To me, unexpectedly.
Surprising. Yeah, I was like,
well, let's do the match now.
Who's in the match? I don't know.
I
was
like, I think we may all have been caught. I'm not sure a single one of us understood that the match had started.
I think like a few minutes after the match had started, our friend Nicole was like, is a match happening right now? And we were kind of like,
yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I think so.
Totally possible. Probably a match. It's probably a match. Yeah, it's probably, we're probably watching a match.
What
else? Will Ospreay is where at this point? No idea, not my business. I think he'd gone backstage because then there comes a point in the middle of the match where Marina, who's wearing this hat, and what a look it is.
Oh my God, it was so cute.
She was so cute, but it was also so insane. Like, it was just like, wow, you look wild. You're a hunk. You're my wife?
Which, in the middle of Dynamite, you said that she looked like Spinelli from...
Yeah, I did. Recess.
I couldn't think of it. And immediately I tweeted it, and the internet agrees.
People saw the vision. Okay. Oh, yeah. So Marina tries to get involved. Bryce ejects her from the match. She's on the ramp being like, what the fuck? How could I get ejected easily?
But mommy's little ham, tender, because from the moment she got ejected, she's going, what? Why? For what? What? For being a girl in this, trying to make it in a man's world?
For working 9 to 5 just to make a living? For barely getting by when it's all taking and no giving? Well, it was a double, it was a mommy's little ham double feature because she was hamming and then Osprey came out from and kind of like crept up on her from backstage and did a little smirk and then was like, it's me, bitch. And then threw her over his shoulder and guarded her. Everyone was working like a well-oiled machine here. Match continues. More interference from, quote, the war dogs of NJPW. So that's Gabe Kidd, a man I don't know, and so, I don't know, Cole Carter, cowboy stripper. It's not Cole Carter. That's that other guy, that little twink.
Clark Connors.
Yeah.
Cowboy Carter?
So it's Gabe Kidd, Cowboy Carter, and unknown.
And unknown. And the other one.
And he, and Gabe Kidd yanks Tanahashi off the ropes. And I thought, like, that's because of his knees. He can't go off those ropes. Well, later he did. He did jump off those ropes. So
they're keeping me guessing. I saw someone in the Social Suplex Network be like, what the fuck, Tanahashi? You couldn't hobble down to the ring at the G1, but you're hopping off the ropes for the AEW freaks. Okay, thanks for
in
that.
In fairness, he did hobble down to the ring here, too. I mean, I was really worried watching him run.
It was quite the boat-legged little run.
And actually,
it is funny, too, to just, like, not ever watch New Japan, but just, like, hear discourse. So it's like, I know the knees are bad, but I don't see him. So then when he comes out, it's like, oh, God, the knees. Like, I think they're going to fall off.
There was a lot of pathos about it because he was running kind of like, I'm so concerned for you. But he has that, like, glorious, like, mane of hair, and it's, like, it's just a beautiful, you know, barrel chest. And he's, like, looks really good. And I'm just like, that's an aged lion. Yeah. He is so... I'm like, be so careful. They'll put you on a slab. The witch is trying to kill you, buddy.
He had such a funny look on his face, too, where as he was hobbling down to the ring, he was like, yes, it is me. And I know you're happy to see me.
He's like, I saw Mox's expression when he heard I was coming. Like,
you're all horny to see me. And so you boner. Should be.
Don't worry about
it. I'm about to get exactly the reception I like. We're going to do it in the ring. I love seeing him. I worry for him. I feel like he's like a papa figure to me somehow, in a way. What else happened here? It's really easy to get lost in here. Everyone's trying to kill everyone. Tanahashi pins Little Pin Pig Yuta. Classic Little Pin Pig Yuta. And then Osprey brings out a body bag. And it's everyone's like, Marina Shafir's in the body bag. And then the Bucks came up and kicked him to try and get the body bag. I don't know. And finally, the body bag gets open, and it's not Marina at all. It's Darby. And so Darby is he loves it in that body bag. First of all,
he's a favorite place to be.
Maybe sleeping in there.
He also came out of that body bag pretty smug, like
design.
You never saw this coming, did you?
Like, if I'd thought for 5 seconds, maybe I would have, but you're right. I would not say that my brain was that turned on, so I did not see it coming, yeah. So then fighting. The ops run out. That makes sense. They love to be there. I forget that they'll be there, but they love to be there. Kyle O'Reilly, Roderick Strong run out, also to help on the side of good. Thoughts?
They go after the Young Bucks. Yeah. So... We're gonna finally have a Kyle O'Reilly and like Roddy, a Kyle O'Reilly and Matt Jackson reunion. Like, you know, I love that. Except Kyle's on the side of good.
Kyle's on the side of good.
Yeah.
This was kind of the point in the brawl where I was like, I give up. I don't know. I'm exhausted. I'm trying to track all these people.
It's I'm confused.
Which can we detour now and talk about the Kyle and Roddy on Collision too?
Yeah, let's please.
Get into it.
I'm obsessed with it because it appears to me that Kyle and Roddy are going to break up because Kyle's like, okay, now that I've been freed from Adam Cole's...
The shackle of Adam Cole's normality. Yeah.
Like, what was Adam Cole doing to him, and are we ever going to get into it?
No. He has mind control power. It's, like, the only explanation. Like, Adam Cole has some kind of supernatural ability. He had Kyle's brain in a normalcy vice.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Was holding him really hostage. Kyle couldn't break out of it for a second. But now that he's free, he's like, Roddy, let's go. We're going to be weird. We're going to do weird stuff. Come hang out with my weird friends. And Roddy, like... has been, like, his vibe is, like, the like, disapproving wife's, like, if I catch you at the bar with your friends one more time when you should be home with me.
Like, Sitcom wife.
Every time I watch one of these segments, I'm like, what am I supposed to be getting from this?
And Kyle's, like, worried that Roddy's embarrassing him in front of the conglomeration all the time.
But Kyle's energy also is terrifying. Like, if I were Roddy, I would be like, we have to get an MRE done. Or MRE. You need to eat an MRE.
Eat an MRE, and then we'll get an MRI. We'll
Kyle, this taken care is of. A blood sugar issue for sure. Eat an MRE.
And it is right that, like, if you've only known Adam Cole's version of Kyle, you would be like, those people are not a good influence on you. Something's wrong. But the truth is that, like, Roddy really needs to understand that this is Kyle's true form.
Yeah. That Adam Cole was the bad influence. Yeah.
We like him when he's scary. Like, you know?
Yeah. But of course, he should be concerned about the cannibalism. You know? Yeah. He's going to get drawn into it if he keeps going.
That's why I keep being like, who is the face in this? Because I'm like, Roddy's right to be concerned, of course. But when Kyle goes back to the conglomeration, yeah, they're going to get a prion disease or something.
Absolutely. The face heel dynamics on this show have never been more confused.
Yeah.
Good boys, bad boys, good girls, bad girls. It's all slapped to me right now. Every time I see someone, I'm like, well, you're a lunatic. I don't know what that makes you. I don't know if you're good or you're bad.
We're going to need, like, more dynamics. Like, we're going to need the D&D alignment chart because good and bad really can't capture it now. We gotta bring chaotic and neutral and
yeah. And then when you have all of these like weird alignments and then you slop them all together in a big mix, it's like, how are we supposed to be tracking them? I don't know.
It is perpetual stew, but to what end, you know? And we're supposed to eat this? I love eating it, but let me hit you with a new idea. Mm. The holes are malfunctioning. They're coming through. Good boy, bad boy.
Good boy. Sure.
Good boy, bad boy.
I wasn't tracking you. Now I'm with you. I'm with you. Keep going.
You said what holes? And I can't believe they're the holes of which the podcast is named. The holes for which the podcast has been named. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm, good and bad boy holes.
Yep.
They're malfunctioning. People are coming through them. They go into the hole normal. They come out weird. They come out the holes like, I don't know what I am. I don't know what I am.
It's like in Galaxy Quest when the little transporter is malfunctioning and sometimes it just splices people together. Yes, you know, you get splinched or whatever.
That makes sense. If I found out eventually that it's like 10 people backstage were in a transporter incident where their little minuscule cells and stuff got splinched and spliced, and now we still have 10 people, and they look the same, but on the inside they're not the same.
Kind of
they
explains.
They got combined weird.
John Moxley's transformation. Yeah. There have been a lot of transformations. Mm-hmm. Definitely, obviously, Kyle's.
Obviously.
Yeah.
I think it's happening to Chris, to Stat right now.
Oh, yeah. Stat's definitely had a little malfunction.
Yeah, definitely Willow, she was in too. That. Willow.
Technically, Mercedes has been getting so weird lately. That's like,
true.
She might have a little bit of Tony, like, that got combined in her. Yeah.
Little Tony in her.
That makes sense. That means they were transporting out for their match, and look what happened. Suddenly, you got a little Tony in you. I think it's not nothing.
Yeah.
You know? So, this is going on. This is all going on. All the spliced people are fighting, and then Darby dives off a balcony onto the bad boys / spliced boys. And end of segment. And the end. Leah, you're so much smarter than me on this. Do you want to talk about the weird timing of this that even on rewatch, I didn't notice? Seems fine.
You know how sometimes you watch like older movies and the credits are at the beginning? Like, you ever watch like, I'm like, for some reason, the example that's coming to mind is like Bambi, when you start Bambi and it has forever. All of the credits at the beginning before the movie starts.
They do that with those damn Bond movies sometimes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's kind of felt like that where I was like, wait a minute, this is last batch energy.
Okay.
What's happening here? No, okay. I know what you're saying. So that was my complaint went to is that I don't understand what happened in terms of like, why any of this happened as the opening, especially because it was like, okay, well, now I assume I'm not going to see any of these people again, which I didn't. You know what I mean? So it's sort of like,
you assumed correctly.
If I didn't have a podcast, I could have turned off the episode because nothing else after that really mattered that much, which,
and
you know,
at moments that mentally I pretty much did. I was trying to solve some pretty intense Excel problems. So Tony, there's huge chunks of this show that went unappreciated by me.
Yeah. So that was my comment. I will say that, like, I saw people in the Social Suplex Discord having a conversation about how the brawl itself was, like, weirdly timed, and that there was, like, a bunch of sections where people were clearly just standing there waiting for something to, like they thought that Darby was going to get up to do his coffin drop faster than he actually, it took him a while to get up there, so then they were just like kind of milling about that. I kind of like because it's just guys shoot the shit.
I didn't even notice that because there were so many men there that I was confused about, that it was just like, well, that's fine.
Yeah. I saw someone who was there, I think our friend Mark Gallup, said that it was very hard to follow in the arena, and it was like, yeah, it was hard on TV too.
It was hard on TV too. But now let me hit you guys with something.
Yeah.
Why didn't Kenny show up to that?
Not coming to work.
Why didn't Ibushi show up to that?
Don't love us.
Pretty straightforward. He said, I'm not coming to work.
He said, I don't work here anymore.
I don't really want to do the work today. I don't really want to do the work today.
Gabe Kidd more than Kenny Omega this year.
Yeah.
Discuss.
I think
maybe twice as many times. Even. Kenny, I love you so much. I'm so worried. I just want you to be happy. That's all. I want you to be happy. I want you to feel good. I'm worried you don't. I'm really concerned.
Yeah. Everyone was so mean about the Dookie promo that he's...
I'm sorry they did that to you. That was great. You were great.
People don't appreciate Kenny's good work, like the Golden Jets promo and Dookie.
The Golden Jets fans is like the three of us and Mark Gallup, and no one else. No one else gives it the credit.
No one else gives it the credit.
I wish we had the memories to make like a list of like the top 10 promos or segments that we loved that no one has ever gotten on the same level.
It's like Darby and Ethan.
Darby and Ethan Page,
number one.
Yeah.
Obviously, so Golden Jets promo. There've got to be like 100 others.
There's that. Nobody likes it when I say it. It's when Darby said, "I let them stab me on the bus because what are you going to do? Not let them stab you?"
That was a funny one.
It was a great promo. It was the only good characterization he's ever done.
And honestly, go find yourself. I feel like it's underappreciated. Incredible comedic moment.
Nobody saw that coming.
We'll keep working on that list.
Now I'm immediately thinking about that person that burned us in the Social Suplex Network Discord and being like, imagine Tunnel Talk having Match of the Year candidates. They'd have to remember a match first.
So accurate. You know what? And sometimes we are invited to contribute, and that is a barrier to entry, I will say. Yeah.
And I haven't tried to overcome it. That's like,
One year and it was so much work. I was like, never again.
Yeah. I was impressed that you did it. I look at it, it's like I've been brought to the Border Collie like hurdle jumping competition, and my owner takes me out there, and I look around and I'm just like, absolutely not.
Just lay down in front of the first hurdle. Not. Like, oh yeah, I can sit here. That's not a problem.
Oh, I don't see that for me. Okay. I do want to point out this moment. I thought this was splendid. Confusing. I think I'm trying to give him the mommy's little ham. I really am. This moment when Darby has jumped off the balcony, he splat on the floor. Will Ospreay kind of like dives for him and is like helping him up and then just shoves his head under his arm and is like, brother, you get your arm around me.
it's all he's ever wanted.
Was so wild.
Man's arm of friendship around him.
Just a funny guy. Okay. Anything else you want to say about any of this?
Oh, also, I know this is probably a minority opinion, but Bryan Danielson is one of my special little guys, and I was really excited to see him and have him on commentary all match, even though I know people were mad he wasn't in the storyline, but I didn't expect him to be. That man's off the board. He's not a player.
It never occurred to me that I'm like, Bryan Danielson didn't want to be in a storyline when he was actively wrestling. You think he wants to be in a storyline now? Grow up.
I didn't expect anything out of Bryan Danielson. I will say it did absolutely crack my shit up when Mox entered like the ring and proudly walked past Bryan Danielson without eye contact, nose in the air. Like,
he killed Bryan Danielson the wrestler and this Bryan Danielson the commentator of the same name.
He's not giving that man a cent of attention.
He said, I am winning this breakup.
Look at me thriving.
I will come back to Bryan Danielson on commentary later because he did have one shining moment. I had no objection to him. I was happy to see him. I was confused to see him. When the show started with Bryan Danielson's music hitting, it was so disorienting to me. I was like, what is happening? Is that what I think it is? I'm not sure I even remember. Then he comes out and he just said, I don't really get dressed. No, I'm just wearing my normal clothes. Of course, no, I didn't get dressed for this, really.
I also, in my very classic way, didn't pay attention to anything anybody was saying. So I just saw him there. And I guess in my head, I thought that he was going to like grab a mic and like talk to us about something. And then all of a sudden, Will Ospreay was there and Will Ospreay was talking. And I just had to be like, I was in our channel just going, now what happened to Bryan?
Yeah. Did everyone else see Bryan?
I really had a moment where I was like, he was here, right? Y'all saw him?
Man. Tony, we've said it many times, but I'll say it again. Gaslight us. One of these days, just have Bryan Danielson or whoever come out. You do the big entrance, and then they just like walk down. And while the cameras are off of them, they just walk right into the back, and you don't see them again.
Brings it up again.
Nobody brings it up.
People and you're just like, so
I know I saw them. I know it.
I know he was there. I saw him.
Did I not?
He was real. No. Tony, I want to go get an MRE because of you. That's the funniest, stupid thing I've ever said.
And you know it's going to end up being something that enters our lexicon now, where we're just like, oh, that was so stupid. It made me want an MRE.
Yeah, we're going to be saying in 5 years and like forget that it's a joke. So it's just something we say. And then people will be like, those girls are dumb.
Guys.
Because it's MRI.
It's imaging. Shut imaging. Shut up.
Shut up. It's imaging. Okay.
Magnetic resonance imaging.
We all know what it is. Shut up.
If someone confidently told me that imaging is a scientific concept, I probably would be like, maybe. I don't know. I guess I didn't go to school for this.
And that's why not we're perfect candidates person. To be gaslit.
So humiliating to have been the arts, to have been the humanities part of the science and humanities equation. I guess.
Getting defunded.
Oh my God. Yeah, good thing we're not teaching any of that anymore.
No.
Okay. Mercedes and Athena fought Tony and Winza on Dynamite. Tony wore a beautiful tartan costume for Scotland, and she sniffed Mercedes really aggressively and then said, get in my belly.
It's so funny. It's such an old reference.
It's like, that's what it's like to be pandered as a millennial.
Yeah.
It was so great. It really woke me up. I was working on my Excel stuff. I turned and looked at her. She said that. I said, okay, you're right. I'll watch. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to be doing that during your match. I'm really sorry. No complaints about any of this. Bad Girls pulled out the win due to Winza getting confused about who the legal woman was. So she was doing a move on someone. On Mercedes, but Athena was the legal woman. I said, I didn't even know that mattered anymore. I didn't know we were tracking that in any tag matches really anymore at all. I thought they were all legal all the time.
Get very loose, so it was interesting for that to matter. I also really like this because I enjoyed the discord between Athena and Mercedes, where Athena was yelling at Mercedes as if Mercedes was one of her minions, and Mercedes was like, you can't yell at me. I'm Beyonce.
I have eight belts.
You can't speak to me like this.
I think they're quite fun together. I really liked this little team up. Mercedes confronted one of her opponents at Forbidden Door, Persephone, in the crowd, but she immediately shoved Monet down. She was standing in the front row. I don't know who that is.
I'll be honest with you, I did see who it is. She looks like a very normal woman. I'm sure she's a good wrestler. I'm excited to see her, but I just said you could have pulled any extra out of that crowd and said this is Persephone. I mean, I don't know what. I guess it's just that, like, I'm used to American wrestler women who have, like, 18 pounds of makeup and hair extensions. So I'm like, this woman looks like she could be in a 7-Eleven any day.
I love your vibe. That's a little crazy. Bit is like, they said she was a wrestler. Maybe. Time will tell.
I guess she didn't really.
Yeah, they said she was a wrestler.
Clean herself up the way I would have expected. But
they said she was a wrestler, but she wasn't wearing glitter eyeshadow.
Cancellation incoming. Cancellation incoming. Okay. In other women's news, Chris Statlander fought Anna Jay, Julia Hart, and Penelope Ford on Dynamite. She won $100,000. What was the segment where we learned? Apparently.
Twitter.com.
Okay. And what's the facts?
Oh, I think it's just like, I think the Young Bucks maybe changed one of their bios at one point to be like our salary, or maybe it was the AEW Twitter said, one of the Twitters said that all of these recent like win money for tournament things that's what Tony is spending the Young Bucks salaries on.
So they're not getting paid anything anymore? They really are
everywhere.
Cinderella's kitchen. They really are the little princess. You can't take their salaries, Tony. Okay, well, fair enough. I like that. You know what? Let's explain it. Anyway, we explain it. Let's explain it. So she won $100,000. And then she got attacked by Triangle of Madness. And then Queen Aminata and Ty Mello ran out to help. And then Megan Bain stomped out to also be up. So everyone's out there. You couldn't believe the people who are out there. They're all out there. And Megan Bain is wearing these bright white platform shoes and kind of like a, what do you call that style of dress? that's like, it's all like cut up around the hem. You know, it's like a handkerchief dress. It's like a pink handkerchief. Everything about this was like, wow, this is wild. I don't know what this is communicating, but she's fighting. They're all fighting. And then Harley Cameron shows up and she drives off all the bad girls. Then we go backstage. Chris is celebrating her win with napkin confetti and just some classic confusing dialogue that says, let's get her back to that transporter room. We've got to get looking into this problem. All is not well on this ship. All is not well. Harley interrupts the promo, jumps into Chris's arms. I was so inspired by all the things you said about women inspiring women. It was so inspiring. And then she said she had two. She said, what are you going to spend your money on? I have two suggestions. I can't even speculate. I'm not even going to speculate. I don't know. I don't know what it meant. The thing is, like, it was suggestive, but it was suggestive in that way where you're like, that's dirty. And then you're like, wait, how though? What do you mean? What do you mean?
It is like they all got a little piece of Tony in the last transporter, but they don't really know how to make it work.
Yeah.
So they're just like
just semi-innuendos are coming out and not quite all the way
there. I'll innuendo.
There's like a lot of stuff being said that it's like, stop, explain it to me. Harley is like dips herself back and John Moxley has come on the scene. He's looking down at her and Chris is looking at him like, oh God, no. And then she like sets Harley down and then she stands to attention like a cadet. She says, oh, she,
like, pushes
God.
Harley behind her too. Yeah. Like she's always protecting. Yeah.
That's true. She's always protecting.
Horny scared. It was.
Yeah. The vibe very much was like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. I can't believe this happened in front of John Moxley.
I'm so sorry, Commander Moxley. It'll never happen again. And Mox gave her a look like, you bet it won't. And then he said, damn right. And then he left and Yuta was there and he looks at Chris like, good on you, sis. You're right. We've all got to impress Commander Mox.
He tried to fist bump her, but Chris wouldn't fist bump her, so he just bumped her shoulder.
Bumped her little shoulder.
Yeah.
Girls, I don't know.
I don't know. I, like, kind of love this storyline, so I'm glad it's still happening. But it is like, wow, where are we headed? Love to know.
I know. It's actually working for me that we're getting dribs and drabs every 3 to 4 weeks because I'm genuinely not sure if they've plotted out where it's leading or if they decide 30 seconds before it happens what's going to go on.
Yeah. Because it's like, I'm not even fully sure, like, what Chris wants or feels or is afraid of, but the mix of emotions on her face is, it's a heady one. Like, I almost don't want to know explicitly. Like, it's working.
Yeah. The vibe is kind of like she went bad and didn't really have a good time because it's like Stokely made her mad and like the scene wasn't really great. So she was like, oh, well, maybe I'll be good again and I'll get Willow to forgive me and I'll just do that. And then that was hard. And she's like, well, I didn't like being bad and it's really hard to be good. So what is there? And Mox is like appearing to be like, you actually don't have to come out of either tunnel. You can come out. You can come out of the back of the arena.
Toontown, baby.
It's like, you want to get in a pickup after the show? We don't choose the tunnel. Mox come right in.
Walks onto the screen, winks at her, walks through a wall into Toontown. Says, when you're in Toontown, you can go anywhere you want. No holes. The world is a hole. The whole world is a hole. And you just walk right through it.
You go through a hole and it can go anywhere, you know? That's the fun.
Just a big black hole in the wall. You just walk through it.
You just walk right through it.
Where's that? Yeah. Where's that tunnel go? I don't know. Anywhere you want it to go. Wormholes.
What's happening?
I don't
know. Transporter. Infected us too.
I'm simultaneously in every single sci-fi show right now. You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm the transporters from Star Trek. I'm like, wormholes, we're in Farscape. John Moxley would be a Muppet. You know what I mean? This is all adding up.
I mean, the Muppets went to space for sure, yeah.
The Muppets went to space for sure. Some of them came from space. Some of them started in space.
So true, yeah.
We're really putting dots together.
don't you ever try to talk to me about anything when a Muppet came from space.
Ellie, which of the Muppets came from space? Can we list them?
I think it's Gonzo. Mm. I think canonically Gonzo, but others could have. I don't think all could have. I don't know where the Muppets came from. Jim Henson's hand. I think. Should I move on?
Yeah, what if me and Anne just keep quizzing you about Muppet facts?
I don't think I have any more. I think you got
timestamp Muppet fact interlude.
Guys, I think you got everything I had to give in the Muppet fact department. Last week on Collision, FTR stole Bandito's mask and Brody King came to save him, but I guess not before they got his mask. I didn't watch any of this. They all fought and FTR got the better of them. And so they had an advantage coming into the match on Dynamite. And then on Dynamite, there was a 30-minute time limit, and they fought for all 30 of them. And I figured out a workaround to make sure that when I put dates in Excel, they don't automatically turn into a format I didn't want. And it was really hard. You have to use Google Drive. It's crazy.
Dates in Excel, it's a real, it's not a good situation.
It is rough in there.
Yeah.
And they don't want to solve it.
FTR gave you that opportunity to really get in there.
Yeah, I appreciated it a lot. And 30 minutes, time limit draw.
Yeah,
I felt those 30 minutes. You
know? It was a long 30.
I took my trash out during this.
That's cool.
Oh, and my fungus gnat traps got delivered, so I've set a bunch of those.
I got to set some new ones because the situation here is not good.
It's not pleasant. It's not pleasant when they're about.
No.
And where are they living? That's what I'd like to say.
In the soil. In the plant soil.
I don't want them in there.
I know. So we'll discuss this when we get offline, but I've got some stakes that go right into the soil.
Great. Wow. Okay.
Get them where they live.
Smart.
That's what I assume. So while you guys were watching, when everybody who in the world who watches wrestling was watching this match,
I was learning the blade.
I was learning the blade. The blade against fungus gnats.
Wow. I really didn't subdue anything during this 30 minutes, and I feel like I really let that time go to waste.
Oh, and I'm sure there'll be another 30-minute FTR match for you to use any day.
So true.
Our group chat during this time was so funny because there was like there was a message at like 9:01, and then there was a message at like 9:17, and then there was a message at like 9:31.
Yeah, still have nothing to say about this.
It's like, you can't get us. Oh, I know we liked FTR for 5 minutes. Well, they ruined it. Don't worry about that. We don't like it. Anymore.
They ruined it, and frankly, the rest of the show stepped up. Remember that period when FTR was the only one telling a story on the whole show?
It was wild. So weird. It was such a weird story. It didn't make sense, but they had so much to say about it. It wasn't my favorite episode of Dynamite. I'll say that.
No.
It was not.
It was not a good episode.
Anyway, FTR and the Hurt Syndicate and the other Brodito are going to fight all three of them. Together at Forbidden Door, and Hurt Syndicate had a backstage segment on Collision, and I think it was just someone being like, are you even worried about that? And they said, no one could beat us.
It's so pathetic. I wonder if men think that it's like an attractive quality to not be able to pretend to lose a fake wrestling match.
It's the biggest red flag of all time. It's truly the biggest red flag.
It's like, you should be mortified. Like, do you wrestle your 4-year-old nephew and just like grind his face into the carpet and say, I don't do jobs, kid?
The other thing that was crazy about that Collision moment is like, there was a moment where it was like, whoever was interviewing, I actually really wish I had remembered who was doing the interviewing, but it doesn't matter. They were like, oh, so, hey, is there any discord between MVP and like Shelton and Bobby? And MVP was like, no, absolutely not. Of course my boys love me. And it would have been a really great moment for like Shelton or Bobby to like in any way indicate like whether there's something MVP doesn't realize is going on or like, you know, anything like that. No, they didn't give nothing. They just smiled and enigmatically and was like, gotta go, and left.
Do you remember back in the days of, what could they have been called? The Pinnacle, when Wardlow would sometimes do his face acting behind MJF, and he was pretty good at it. He did a pretty good job of, in a low-key way, you're just like, that guy's not happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Luchasaurus did the same thing. When Luchasaurus was like...
Yeah.
Like
Brian Cage did it in Team Taz.
Brian Cage did it. Well, he's a genius. He's a little genius.
Of course, he's brilliant.
We've always said that about Brian Cage.
He's our very special boy. I miss him. I'll just having fun at the mansion.
Normal clothes at the Dunkhouse mansion where everyone else is dressed like a sci-fi villain.
I hope the Young Bucks are making him soup in the kitchen and their role is kitchen boys. I hope they're making him.
That's nice. Big nice way for them to soup. Pay their rent over at the mansion.
I can't imagine it. I was just like, it's Brian Cage though, so they're going to have to make a lot of soup. It's like,
the amount of soup that Brian Cage probably eats. Wow, I hadn't thought about it. So true. Those are some big boys.
God, I know that grocery bill is gargantuan. Anyway.
And they don't get paid anymore.
They don't get paid.
As aside, Leah, I love that you're using the word Discord casually now, like not the chat platform, but just like as like a, you know, enmity kind of situation. It really makes my brain have to work a little bit harder. Which I appreciate.
And you know, I love that. I love to make give your brain a little exercise.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how she's taking revenge on you for the weather thing. All right. So then I'm done.
She's going to have a word of the day and just start slipping something weird into every episode and be like,
this is how we learn, girls. We're going to become so.
You wouldn't let me use mindless chit chat to start our our podcast. And now you're going to learn new words, dictionary definition words.
Well, in fairness, I think our car chit chat was still pretty mindless, but it was a little something new.
A little more fun than weather every week. That's all I'm saying.
Well, it's not really. Hey,
listen. I'm excited for your reign as chit chat initiator.
Chit chat queen. Thank you so much. Chit chat queen. Okay, guys, focus up. On nine. Guys, enough. Y'all done here? Y'all fucking done here?
You're right. We gotta get off the Muppets.
Gonzo came from space. Rizzo came from space. Scrooge came from space, basically a Muppet. Then on Dynamite.
If I told you to name every Muppet, how many do you think you could get? I mean, don't do it now.
Fozzie. Sam the Eagle.
Bananas.
Statler and Waldorf.
Yeah.
Kermit, Animal. Miss Piggy.
Yeah. Lots of them. I think we could get them all. Probably most of them. So. Anyway, then on Dynamite, Tony Schiavone interviewed Christian Cage and Adam Copeland together in Ring. Very long Copeland sing-along.
It was longer than usual, right?
Yeah, it went on for a long time.
Long. A second verse that I don't think we usually do we?
I was like, have some of you been studying this? You sicken me.
Australia knows the words. We have to stop trying to force this. I've really turned on Cope. Like, for a while, I was a Cope tolerator, but now it's very, I'm done with Adam Copeland.
I've had it with him. Anyway, Christian starts berating the crowd. He comes out. The crowd's booing him. He's like, stop. Let me do my business. Cope says, what are you doing, man? You're still going to be that guy? Come on. These people love us. Which
immediately, okay, so the moment the sing-along started, like he emerged, I'm kombucha meme. I'm going, ew, this is annoying, this is terrible, whatever. Yeah. Cope gets to that line, and I kind of cocked my head, and that's an interesting thing to say.
Okay, I'm listening. Right, I'm listening. Let him cook.
Hit me with a little more than that.
Let him cook. Okay.
And didn't he say, like, we're inarguably one of the greatest tag teams of all time or something?
Yes.
Yeah, he did.
Yes.
Yes.
Look at this baby face. What a sympathetic thing to say.
Yeah. But I loved it.
He's talking to the crowd. He says, I get it. He is what he is. He's an asshole. It just so happens that he's my asshole. And the crowd's laughing, and then he's hamming it up like, what did say? He's my butt? He's my butthole?
This was like a real mommy's little ham derogatory. Like, okay, you're overdoing it a little bit.
I think you should have just let it lie. I think you should have let it lie. Just no sell the, the butthole part, you know?
Would have been funnier, yeah.
Yeah. Tony Schiavone asks if Christian took Cope's advice to go find himself. Christian's like, well, I went home for sure, but I definitely looked into my heart, and what I found was no problems. Like, I like me just the way I am.
Christian, they could never make me hate you.
Never.
So he's like, listen, we're not on the same page. We're not friends anymore, really. I actually don't know if he said that. I don't know what he said, but he was basically like, I'm not saying that we want to neck every week on TV. I'm just saying that we have to fight the same people together. And that sometimes the best thing that you can be with your best friend of a lifetime is simply merely business partners.
And I was, I'm listening.
I said, I'm confused. Complimentary? I don't, I'm not sure what to make of. What did you guys make the vibes? So then they're just like, we're going to be business partners, but we don't love each other anymore. Tony, I know you wish we did, but we don't. We're just going to be business partners.
And meanwhile, Brian Daniels is being like, yeah, you know, last week, Copeland, he hugged Christian, but Christian, he didn't put his arms up. Like, he wasn't hugging him back. It was like, Brian Danielson, I love this body language.
It was a shining moment for Brian Danielson because I said, I didn't know that you could see that kind of thing.
Can recognize that?
When a man's not hugging another man? Wow. Hmm.
You've never indicated to me before that you were capable of reading body language from anybody. And suddenly the expert is here at the table. Did your wife sit you down, talk you through it? Like, what's up?
They should absolutely start doing, you know, like how they do like Taz's little like move of the week or whatever. They should do like Brian Danielson's body language of the week. And he'll just be like, look at how Harley has her legs around Chris's waist. Suggestive. Like,
you see them standing there like he's angled in, but he's angled out. His energy is pointing away.
They're pointing.
That would be the greatest. That would be the greatest thing I've ever seen. I wish I could see it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Reactions to whatever is happening with these guys.
I was like I said before, I was in a bad mood coming into this because I was like, you've ruined this for me. However, I find it kind of interesting for Cope to, like, they could have done something where Cope is like, I love you. I'm happy to be here with you. I want to be friends with you. Let's make this work. And Christian be like, not really. Instead, they're both saying, hey, let's do it for the cameras. Hey, let's do it for the audience. Let's do it for the clout. Only one person is openly a heel and the other person it thinks he's a face. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
Like, for Cope to be like, hey, I'm a good guy and let me team with this bad guy because the people are going to love it. That's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. Especially while Cope, who thinks he's the babyface for sure, is saying things like, the people love us so much. Like, everything he's doing is very unsympathetic. And so it's like, and I don't know if he's like deliberately doing unsympathetic things, like being a heel while like who thinks he's a face, or if it's just incompetence, which I think is probably more likely. But I do kind of love it as a dynamic. I'm interested.
I think it is, the whole thing is a bit of a galaxy brain meme where you're starting and you're like, that doesn't add up. But then increasingly you're like, wow, that doesn't really add up. That does not add up.
Well, because it was like, it's crazy. They're forcing them to get back together and they're doing some kind of Christian face turn. But now it's like, well, they're not. They're just working together to crush their enemies. It's like, oh, well.
And it's, like, funny for it to be, like, so Christian in this segment is just, like, we're not in love. This is just merely a marriage of convenience. And it's, like, that you caused that you caught. You know what I mean? It's, like, well, it wasn't that convenient until you made it convenient. Like,
right. Like, two people turning up at the justices of the peace of their own free will being, like, hey, we're here because we're being forced to get married by gunpoint. And the justices of the peace is, like, where's the gun?
There is something, like, we're getting to the point where I'm like, okay, if you guys are teaming up in weird ways, and I'm increasingly just being like, it would be easy to avoid this, but it seems you do not want to. But they just keep being like, it's merely a business partnership, and they never say I love you. You just, by that time they retire, you're just like, well, they're retiring together. Like, they're in love with each other, and they're just like, well, what a satisfying business partnership this has been that we were forced to have. We're forced to do it together, but...
And then they're going off like, I mean, I guess it just makes business sense for us to buy a home together, you know? I mean, just for the tax write-off more than anything. It's like, does it?
We're going to get huge clout if we get this house together.
If we get real estate agent Sting to help us buy a beautiful, huge house together, oh, the people are going to go crazy for that. It's like, if the people are me, like, yeah. But that all hinges upon, like, now you're on a path where I'm like, You can never say I love you. You can only show in a way, in a certain small way, the intensity of your love, and then just be like, but we don't speak of that. But yeah. We're going to die together and be buried in the same grave.
Again, practically, it just makes more sense environmentally. More sense.
What are we going to do, buy two plots? Yeah, we're not millionaires.
Coffins are so expensive. Like, probably if one of us dies, the other one should just climb in the coffin with him, climb you know, in, just yeah. to save
Put
money.
Put the dirt on. I don't know. I guess I love it. I don't think it makes any sense. I don't think it makes any sense.
No, it's not what I would have done, but I'm interested. I feel
like it might, though. Like, it'll be interesting to see what they do, because, like, at this point, I do think it's kind of incompetence, but, I mean, we're about to talk about, like, Luchasaurus comes back, right? Huge pop. Everyone's freaking out.
Yeah.
He beats them up while the crowd goes crazy cheering for him.
I love it.
And it's like, they had to know the crowd would...
Yeah.
be happy to see Luchasaurus, right, and be on his side, like, surely,
whole storyline before Luchasaurus left was that Luchasaurus was the family dog who was getting kicked over and over and over again.
Yeah,
so he's in the right to turn on Christian, and then on top of it, AEW has a history of turning people face when they come back from injury anyways, so the combination, I'm like, Luchasaurus is a monster face now. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, so I am a little bit like, maybe they are doing it on purpose. Maybe Cope is, like, on purpose being a heel who is confused, you know?
Maybe. But then what are we supposed to think
Probably
about FTR?
Not, but...
You know, I keep forgetting are involved in this, to be honest.
Yeah, honestly.
When I was trying to figure out where to put something today, I was like, I got to put this FTR, like, YouTube clip somewhere. Where am I going to put it? Where are they? They're not anywhere here. They're not here. It took me so long to be like, right. They're connected to the Cope storyline. Like, it just doesn't seem...
No, it doesn't seem right.
Okay, if you told me... Okay, Cope and FTR sit down together. Cope's like, it's so gutting to me that I love Christian so much, but there's just no way in with him. Cope and then FTR are like, here's the plan. We turn on you. And then, like, they put together this plan that's like, and then.
They're basically, like, in a YA novel where the fake dating has to happen, but the one person has to really do a lot to, like, cause it. Yeah.
Right. Every single thing you read, you're like, well, I don't think that's how a human being would think or how they would respond to that. But, like, if it was just, like, Cope's like, and then I'll come out and save him. And it's like, I can't even make it add up right now. But it's like, if he had some big plan where he's like, yeah, then I'll come out and save him. And then he'll have to come save me from you guys. And then because I saved him and he saved me, then I'll say we have to team up. And then he'll agree that we have to team up. Because in a way, it's like now that Luchasaurus is back, it's like Christian has so many abused family members who are absolutely in the right, who are mad at him. And I'm kind of like, and Cope, like, only has FTR and who cares?
Like,
Cope is so tall.
Why
doesn't
the
bigger
situation.
Man simply stomp the two small men? I don't know. Anyway, Luchasaurus is back. They showed this little backstage clip that they'd filmed where people are either they're in a kind of a Jekyll and Hyde, Frankenstein, dark lab situation, and people
For
are injecting
second,
things.
Because
and...
they were crafting things. Like, I was
potions.
Like, oh, is it Jungle Boy? Is he making knives back there?
Oh, and, God. Oh, my God. I wish.
I know. But maybe soon. Who knows?
I want him back so badly. And I feel sick. I feel sick at his absence. I can't have Jericho. I can't have OC because of his titty. I don't get any men. I don't get any men I want.
I know, and you don't even put Chuck Taylor on the list anymore because that's how much we've given up on that.
I'm like, I guess we say goodbye to him for the last time.
Say goodbye to these.
I miss those boobs. Okay. Anyway, so Luchasaurus chokeslams. So he's back. He's back, baby.
Yeah. He's back, and people, I was very, very sick.
I was really happy.
Such a big pop. It really makes me happy because he was very sick, it sounded like. So
yeah.
That's nice.
It's really nice. And he looked good, and he's a face. And he has a face.
Something we all know.
Pretty indisputably, I think. So.
But, it's like we don't know what happened in that transporter room. We just don't know. Now, I don't know that we need, which of these do you want?
Max Gasser.
Yeah, I know. You like that I'm like, well, it could be my special topic, maybe. No. Renee interviewed Anthony Bowens backstage on Dynamite. Anthony Bowens, she was like, what do you think about Max Caster going to Scotland and getting a fun little match in Scotland? He was like, Renee, what the literal fuck? I thought this interview was going to be about me, but for some reason, beyond me, I have to keep hearing the name Max Caster. When the Acclaim broke up, I was supposed to be the star. Me, not him. And he's getting into this whole thing of, like, all the things that he's done that are cool, and they were so funny because it started being like, I threw a pitch at a game. I hung out with Bob Odenkirk. I think that people should think about cancer. They should know what it is. Why does Max Caster get to perform in Scotland? All he does is lose. He's a loser. He's pathetic. I cannot stop hearing the sound someone of that in the that crowd.
This
chant.
Is a pre-tape backstage. As he's saying that, someone in the crowd screams, he's the best wrestler alive.
And then he says, I cannot stop. It was perfect. It was perfect. So perfect. I cannot stop hearing the sound of that chant. I'm getting, people are sending me the clap emojis. The crowd. Oh, Glasgow, you killed it.
Perfect.
The crowd starts perfect chanting. Chant. Let's go, Max. You're the best wrestler alive. Let's go, Max. You're the best wrestler alive. Anthony Rollins is furious, and he looks at Renee, and he says, just do it, Renee. I know you want to. Like, Renee is standing there dying to do the cheering. It was so funny.
Like, Anthony Bowens so has funny. Been nothing up to this point, but I think his character of man slowly being driven insane by Max Caster's success is, I think he's got something there.
Absolutely. Well, he's tapped into something really raw. Real and raw. Real and raw, because I'm like, if I were you, I would feel that way for real a little bit. Yeah. I certainly would. Yeah. And so I like that you felt that feeling, and you said like, you know what, fuck everyone's focus grouping me, let's set that aside, let's just be Anthony. And Anthony has had it with this.
He's had it with this, and he's being a little pathetic right on screen to Renee, and that's what gets you over, to be honest.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's like, wow, and you said all of that on TV? You shouldn't have done that. Yeah, but it's good you did. It's really good you did.
It's so good. And it's so funny that the crowd, like, does exactly what they're supposed to do, and that everyone's gotten so good at this horrible chant.
Horrible chant.
The control Max Caster has over that crowd. My that's goodness. Crazy.
That's some charisma.
And that's why
know.
He's the star of the Canine Rescue. The crowd is like, we love that he put all those children in the well. It's so cool to have a well totally full of children. It's cool that it started with one child and they said, get that child out of there. And he put 50 more children in there.
Jets feed those sleek little huskies. They just keep pulling children out of the well. And somehow there are more children down there than when they started.
They just keep arfing confusedly at each other. Like, what? How can there still be more children? Max, come help. Max.
Max, come where we can see you.
Every time they're not looking, he takes one of the children they just took out and he puts the child back.
He got confused about what they were doing.
Oh my gosh. That's what you mean, Stungly. Me, Stungly. Anything else? Anything you wanted to talk about that you didn't get a chance to talk about?
No.
I'm happy that Tony Schiavone got to call Nigel, so proudly call Nigel his partner on Collision. And then he said, Nigel's going back to his home country. And it sounded like Nigel isn't allowed there. You should. It sounded like, thank goodness he can have a work visa for this match so he can see his home country again.
The vibe was so funny because Matt Menard was like so proudly biased in favor of Danny, and then Tony Schiavone was so proudly biased in front of Nigel, and the two of them are just passive aggressively being like, well, I think this.
I do think that Danny Garcia is going to murder him, maybe, but
yeah. I sort of think he should at this point. The amount of old men who have stepped on Danny Garcia's neck to get an undeserved win, I think he should be allowed to murder
just
him.
Kill faster, pussycat. And so that's all. And then I got to do my special segment. That's really fun. Everyone loved my special topic. And
it's so funny that you were like, do you guys have anything else you want to talk about? You're like, well, I do.
Well, I have to say, I always say it, so I have to say it, but it is hard when I'm the person who has something else to say. I think what I wanted to acknowledge was like, of course, this shouldn't be on the schedule, but I want to say it.
People know our priorities, and it's like Nigel Tony is obviously a top one.
I hope they have a really nice second honeymoon together.
I know. I hope it's really romantic.
I hope it's so romantic.
I hope they're kissing in castles.
Oh, yeah, and some sausage rolls from Greg's.
Oh, from Greg's.
From
I
Greg's.
Hear they're
great. Okay, that's all. So that's the end of the podcast.
Now that's the kind of skill that you only get after 3 years of podcasting.
Y'all done a little longer than 3 years.
Y'all, yeah, we're going on Are we four in and year half. Four and a half?
Four and a half? Are you serious?
I March of 21.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Oh, and
that doesn't feel right.
We going have on four, five. It'll be 5 years next
oh
March.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I'm really scared right now.
For some reason, I didn't internalize that. And so I thought we were at three and a half. So I'm like really startled.
Yeah, we've been doing this for, this is kind of what we've been doing.
this is what we have to show for our
becoming
free time.
The majority of the time we've known each other, which is crazy. Oh.
Okay, well, I think I just have some stuff to think about. Just kidding. We feel fine. We love podcasting. I've been Allie.
I've been Anne.
And I've been Leah.
This is Tunnel Talk. Our theme is by Chris Corkin. You can find us on Twitter, Tumblr, Twitch, and Blue Sky at Tunnel Talk Pod via Gmail, tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. We have a souvenir stand. You can find it at chop-tees.com. You can find us on our feed, on the Social Suplex Network feed, where you can check out all the other great podcasts on the network, including Keeping It Strong Style, and we will be seeing Jeremy next week. You can also find us on the Social Suplex Network Discord. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. Stay frosty, and as always, please, come back next week.